episode 14 of the Leading Chaos Podcast. If you're interested in learning about a practice that you could rely on for both the sunny and cloudy days ahead that life will throw our way, stay tuned because it's time to take a journey to the heart of Aikido with Sensei Linda Holiday. Hello and welcome to the Leading Chaos Podcast. I am Rhea Windcaller, your host of this weekly podcast where we take chaos head on and make it manageable. Chaos is disorder, confusion, and at its worst, pandemonium. No matter who you are, where you are, or what you do, chaos will appear when you least expect it. So let's get started. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. I am thrilled to have Sensei Linda Holiday on the show this week. She is the author of Journey to the Heart of Aikido, The Teachings of Monomichi Anno Sensei. Linda began her practice of Aikido over 40 years ago in California. In 1973, she moved to Japan. She lived there for several years and received instruction from Japanese Aikido teachers who had studied directly with the founder of Aikido, Morihei Ueshiba. While there, she met Monomichi Anno Sensei and began her studies with him. Sensei Linda holds a 6-degree black belt that she was awarded by the Aikikai Foundation of Japan. In 1973, she founded Aikido of Santa Cruz. She is the executive director and chief instructor of this nonprofit educational organization and dojo. Linda Holiday, welcome to the Leading Chaos Podcast.
Thank you, Rhea. Great to be here.
Well, I want to just begin and tell the listeners that I do know a bit about Aikido too, so a little bit of transparency, but I don't want to give up the opportunity to have your view and your point of view, which I really see you as a teacher for so many of us. And so it's a great opportunity to really get your input and your description on what Aikido is for folks who really have no idea.
So Aikido is known as a Japanese martial art and a nonviolent, non-aggressive Japanese martial art that emphasizes the harmony and the resolution of conflict rather than fighting. And it is a way of training body, mind, and spirit in these principles of harmony and resolution. And it's a non-competitive martial art, meaning tournaments and so on, but it's also quite intense, and that's part of it, that it puts us in very constructive and increasing intense situations so that we can practice training our bodies, minds, and spirits in of harmony and of resolution.
Mm-hmm. And it's a Japanese martial art, and you're fluent in Japanese. I wonder, how did that come about? Was that traveling to Japan and learning as you went? Did you study beforehand?
Well, first of all, people consider me fluent, but I prefer the word fluid because I certainly don't have, I don't know the entire language, and my vocabulary is sometimes limited, but I have a natural flow in the language, which comes from living there and having studied quite a number of years. In fact, I love Japanese. Wonderful language, though it's difficult for Americans to learn. Well, I was motivated to Japan when in 1973, after I'd been studying a couple of years of Aikido in California. So I just went off to Japan. I didn't really have any Japanese, just a couple of phrases then. And I thought I would only go there for a short trip, but I ended up living there for a while. And I was so motivated to learn the language because my Aikido teachers trying to speak to me in Japanese and speaking about the very inspirational founder of Aikido. So I could tell they were talking about these things, understand them. So I just, I studied on my own, actually. I got some books, I got a dictionary, and then I just studied.
Here you wrote this book called The Journey to the Heart of Aikido, and I've been thinking a lot about the title coming up to this conversation, and in many ways, you went on this journey, which, you know, this American woman traveling overseas into a foreign land, which I imagine feels like home now, and that's been your journey to, like, learn Japanese and to get integrated into that culture as much as one could. But what is the heart of Aikido for you, and what does that bring us to in this book? How would you describe what the heart of Aikido is? If the reader who has no idea about Aikido, what would they be finding?
First of all, the term journey refers to a lot of different things with the book, because I did take an actual journey to Japan, and I went into a very traditional area of Japan where the founder of Aikido was born. And then there are many journeys, in the book. It really kind of refers to the journey of training in Aikido, which is in some ways a process of self-discovery. So the heart of Aikido is the principles of spirit and heart that form the basis, you could say the philosophy of Aikido. So for instance, as Ano Sensei, my teacher, expresses in the book, the principles of harmony, love, and gratitude, he feels are really fundamental. Those are really the heart of Aikido. And that through the practice of Aikido, we develop this ability to be of love and of harmony and of gratitude that becomes more and more consistent regardless of the kind of situations that we find ourselves in. And the reason why it's important to remember the heart of Aikido is because the practice of the techniques of Aikido is so engaging, it's so interesting and fun and difficult that sometimes people will end up just seeing that, just focusing on the technique rather than what the techniques are designed to teach us.
Mm. That's a mouthful right there. Interesting, fun, and difficult all in the same sentence. And that's a
challenge.
Yeah, and a good one indeed.
Practice.
Right, right. And I think that's what gets a little bit misconstrued when people think about Aikido as a martial art. They don't necessarily equate the two together. I wonder if you agree on this. They see it more as combative. And, you're talking about love and harmony and kindness. So in your travels and in writing this book and as you're talking to folks, do you find people surprised by that? Are you speaking to the choir, or is it something that you feel a beginner coming into this or someone who has no idea can grasp that concept that a martial art such as Aikido can be about love and harmony?
Well, I think that is the essential. I think everyone wrestles with that, hopefully to a successful resolution. The founder of Aikido, Morihei Ueshiba, would speak to that paradox frequently because he was constantly pointing to these ultimate goals, you could say, of Budo or of Aikido, but really they are, you could say they're the goals of life, And so he would say Aikido is love, and then he would, people would attack him and he would throw them and he would defend himself without hurting people and, really bringing this conflict to a peaceful resolution in ways that were quite amazing. And he used that as, in a way, in modern terms, we'd say that was his platform. He was able to speak about what was important in life because he had this amazing martial art ability. And he would speak to the Japanese people that he was mostly teaching and say, you think you know what martial arts are, but really, martial arts are about protection, not about fighting. He spoke of the spirit of loving protection of all things being the actual source, impulse for the martial arts. And then he focused on that.
Mm. Well, maybe this is a good juncture to have you do a reading, which I think is going to be speaking to what you just mentioned. You were going to be reading Aikido and the Spirit of Peace. This is out of The Journey to the Heart of Aikido. And I am speaking to Linda Holliday. When you're ready, Linda, if you'd be so kind to give us a little bit of this reading here, or the listeners and myself.
Sure, and let me clarify are, because it is my book. I wrote the book, but also a lot of the book translated Japanese over a very long period of years. They are, so a lot of the words are from my teacher, Motomichi Anno Sensei, who was a direct student of the founder of Aikido. And I've studied with Anno Sensei for many years and just treasure and cherish his teachings. He speaks very simply and deeply and beautifully about the heart of Aikido. And I recorded him and interviewed him, over and over, and then translated a lot of these beautiful teachings into this book. The first part of the book is more of a narrative journey, memoir and history, but the second part of the book is these philosophical teachings about Aikido translated from Japanese. So what I'm going to read now is Anno Sensei's words, and this is from the second part of the book, an excerpt from a section called Aikido and the Spirit of Peace. Why do people fight? How can we eliminate fighting? You could say that Budo, the martial way, arts, is a study of conflict. By practicing Budo, it is possible to understand conflict and its resolution. As you continue to train, you come to understand that not fighting is the better alternative. This understanding gives birth to the heart of love. Aikido teaches love. In Aikido, through the martial art training, we come to understand the spirit of peace. Training is essential. Train into yourself the wonderful principles of Aikido, which leads to kami, to nature. Strengthen your own center so that your partner can be close to you. Find your own balance, movement. In this turbulent world, find what is true. Through training in a variety of situations, you can develop a natural, sustainable posture that will not deteriorate. Training is the way. Over the years, I have kept Osensei's principles in my mind, and my training has gradually moved in the direction of love and of peace. If you study Osensei's Aikido principles and philosophy and keep them in mind, then Aikido training itself will lead you from technique to the development of spirit. That's from Aikido and the Spirit of Peace.
Yeah, there's so much in what, if the listeners aren't aware of this book, but this book is just so filled with paragraph that you could just sit and read over and over and over again. And in the piece that you read there, that sentence, in this turbulent world, find what is true. I mean, that such a simple sentence, and yet we all struggle with that on a daily basis. And I wonder, short of being a practitioner of Aikido, you're a sensei, you've been studying for a long time, what would you say to someone who doesn't know anything about Aikido? Is there a tip or something that find that truth? What do you do for yourself, Linda, that you might be able to share in that way? Do you have any ideas?
Well, I have, through all these years of Aikido training, well, I think early on in my Aikido training, it helped me develop a habit of self-awareness, body awareness, breath awareness, emotional awareness, awareness of my environment. And I think that, when we are in turbulent, circumstances or in a chaotic stance, easy to get distracted from, your own self and your own center and just caught up in what's happening. And then that turns into, kind of a whirling, chaotic mess sometimes. Mm-hmm. So the practice of self-awareness, awareness of body, breath, mind, heart, is a reflex, and it developed through practicing it. So I don't think that, you know, tip is really that helpful in terms of an idea, because if we're in a chaotic situation, you know, the ideas actually don't help. It's what you've practiced that helps at that point. But to start now and to develop, you know, just even right now, the awareness of your own breath, you can feel it in your body going in and out. That's the beginning of self-awareness in a really constructive way.
Yeah, well said. I totally agree. I think it's that practice, and that statement of creating that reflex in your body so it just naturally knows what to do is so key to that training.
It's crucial to have a practice, you know, have a practice that go back to, you know, daily or weekly, you know, that just continues to move you in, you know, in a good direction, and cultivate really constructive habits is fantastic. And, you know, Aikido is really great for that. And really, even at the very beginning levels. So I would encourage listeners actually to think about that, you know, that to do even a few months of Aikido, even a year or 6 months of Aikido training can give you a tremendous amount of this awareness and these positive reflexes in the body, body and mind.
What are you finding in you're doing quite a bit of traveling, both in the U.S. and overseas? What are you finding in dojos nowadays, Aikido dojos, in terms of the ages of folks? Is there a new crop of Aikidoists coming up? Are we aging out? You know, because folks listening, they might be thinking, you know, we have people of all different ages listening, that if they were to come to, let's say, your dojo out in Santa Cruz, California, what ages would they find there versus overseas? Is it pretty much across the board, or is it an older crowd or a younger crowd?
Well, if we're talking about the entire world, that will be a little hard to summarize. But in dojo, there's quite a good range of ages. When we, you know, we have young children as young as six, we have all sorts of ages of children, and then, you know, young adults and medium and people up in their 70s. So it's kind of amazing the way Aikido is so available, you know, kind of accessible. And it's because it's non-competitive, right? That's actually a terrific part of Aikido, is it is a non-competitive practice and people go at their own pace and enjoy training with each other and diverse, you know, other. Overall, in terms of what I know best, let's say the United States, I think there's a recognizable phenomenon talking about it, where since Aikido began in the United States in the 60s and then really started getting going in the 70s, that there's kind of a big boom at that point, and then a lot of people started then who are still going, like me, are you know, getting older, quite a bit older. You know, I'm in my 60s now, and so there is a kind of aging demographic in Aikido, which is something that is interesting. I've been paying attention to that a lot because it's so important to reach out to young people and let them know, you know, what Aikido has to offer. But there's quite a few older people in Aikido, and they are learning how to, you know, adapt their practice so they can continue to enjoy Aikido into their elder years. Not really sure. I can't really summarize about Europe, which is really where I've done my training. I think I've heard some of the same you know, indications in terms of there's quite a few people who are getting older who are continuing their Aikido practice because they love it so much. Mm-hmm. And then I've had a little bit of knowledge of some places in Africa, and I hear about a lot of young people doing Aikido there. And Aikido is there, you know, just in terms of how long it's been there. So some interesting issues in terms of the trends. I've been reaching out a lot to young people, young adults. I feel like that's a very important part of the population, you know, for the future of Aikido and the future of our, you know, our world, to make sure that young adults are really have full access to Aikido as these kind of life tools and life inspiration.
Well, you've certainly presented an amazing map for people to read and get a sense of the history and lineage. You know, that's a term that's used quite a bit in the martial arts, is what's your lineage of studying? Where did you, you know, who did you study with and whatnot? And in this case, this book, Journey to the Heart of Aikido, is just such an amazing roadmap for folks to get a sense of the depth of what you experienced, what Anno Sensei experienced, and the possibilities that are available.
One of the things, I had, you know, numerous goals in writing the book, but one of my goals was to actually to paint this picture of lineage as not as like some kind of ancient history, but as something that's living, studying something, we're part of a living lineage, and that it's really a person-to-person connection. And I wanted people to feel that sense of personal engagement, you know, personal connection with Aikido, with the lineage of Aikido, and see how their, you know, wherever they're practicing, it leads back to through various lineages to the founder of Aikido and the source of the art. It's not that long a history.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to ever train with the founder? Were you practicing at that point?
No, wouldn't that have been lovely? And it's interesting because I've spent, you know, my whole adult life really studying as closely as I could to the founder of Aikido, you know, with his direct students, studying his teachings and watching the videotapes. And I feel a lovely connection. And I think that since I didn't actually meet the founder, but I feel connected to in a kind of lovely, deep personal way, to the inspiration that he taught, I think that that shows possible for anyone, you know, to touch into that, really feel a part of the lineage.
And I think from my own practice with it, the amazing thing about Aikido is it's dual. It's both right side and left side of your body, which is kind of unique if you're doing any type of physical training. And I think that duality of both sides of our body coming together and the physical piece, along with having teachers like yourself, obviously providing this writing, but having a deep wisdom and understanding and integrity in Aikido, really helps link people to the founder, the beginnings of this amazing martial art, which is, I think many people, I imagine you would agree, was like a gift in so many ways to the world, and very unique at the time from what folks normally consider a martial art to be. You have thoughts on that?
Yes. It's the Aikido things and practice is a blessing. And it is, you know, all the martial arts teach good things. So let's clear about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like there are martial arts and then there's Aikido, which is, you know, the good one. All the martial arts are wonderful and teach a great deal of, you know, empowerment and integrity and awareness and so on. So really the emphasis in Aikido, the paradoxical emphasis on love and harmony and the sense of no opponent, that we can in fact live our lives and even under attack with love and without flexibly going into a defensive combative stance, thinking of an opponent. It is possible to develop different ways of looking at the world, different ways of acting in the world that really aren't about fighting at all.
How does it transcend into your daily life? You know, having that basis for meeting not just the challenges, but that no opponent in interactions.
I think it pretty much informs everything you do. It's a kind of reflex for, you know, earlier I was talking about the reflex of self-awareness, mm-hmm. you know, like you're in any kind of situation, but you want to gain an awareness of yourself, your body, your breath, your integrity. You know, it's like, okay, let's say I'm talking with someone and, you know, I can feel, oh, I'm getting out of my center. I'm trying to forcefully make a point, or I'm trying to win something. And that's not the way. You know, in Aikido, the way is to be centered in yourself and to establish harmonious connections with others. And so if I can feel that that's slipping, then I can come back to my center. I can remember what's important, what I'm actually trying to do, which is generally, let's say, not win a point or something like that. You know, in a conversational sense, you're not trying to win a conversation. You're trying to make a connection with someone. You're trying to, you know, do something together. The reflex of finding your integrity, finding your body, your breath, and then remembering what's important and what your actual goals are and make those goals really worthy. I think that reflex really helps me, you know, every day. And when I have a large dojo and, you know, in any large group of people, even a small group of people, you're going to have conflicts. You're going to have, you know, lots of things to do and to work out. And I'm constantly working with the sense of developing good relationships, valuing that over some sort of, I don't know what you'd call victory in the moment. You know, I'm thinking about what will build a good relationship, you know, what will affirm what's positive for both of us. And all that's really come out of Aikido for me. It informs me every day. Mm. And it's a practice every day, which means it's not perfect. You know, I'm constantly practicing. And I like having a practice mode where I don't have to be perfect. I can make mistakes and hey, that's part of the practice. Now back to the center and come back to what's important.
Mm, that's very forgiving of oneself, which is a beautiful, beautiful way to go. Now, Linda, if folks were going to be interested in practicing with you, what would that look like? How would folks, well, you know, we'll talk about getting the book, of course. It is published by Blue Snake Books in Berkeley, California. And you could go online and find Journey to the Heart of Aikido. How else would they get perhaps a hold of Sensei Linda Holiday and the book itself? Could you give us a little bit of that contact info?
People who are on Facebook, it's very easy to find me and to get information about what I'm doing and a lot of pictures and information also about Anno Sensei, mm-hmm. my teacher. Mm-hmm. And also my book has a website, www.journeytoaikido.com, mm-hmm. Journey to Aikido. My dojo has a website that's aikidosantacruz.org. And those would be good ways of finding out what I'm doing and getting in touch with me. And if people are in the Northern California area, of course, California, they should consider themselves invited and encouraged to come to my dojo, Aikido of Santa Cruz, and to either practice if they are Aikidoists or to come and watch. It's a wonderful practice to observe. I also travel, you know, in the United States, and that information is all be available, like on Facebook page or on the website.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's a great invitation, and I really recommend any listener who even has an inkling of interest in Aikido to seek out the dojo in Santa Cruz and Linda Holiday if you get to. See you train. It's just an amazing experience, and I've had that pleasure and privilege myself. And of course, there's a great community in California. It's a great community internationally, of course, too. But my my own recommendation if you can do that. And certainly I do hope that folks could get a copy of Journey to the Heart of Aikido.
The book is available, I just want to say, on Amazon and every other kind of website like that. It's very easy to get a hold of.
For the show notes to this podcast, this is going to be on the leadingchaospodcast.com. Links to Linda Holiday and her dojo and the Facebook pages, and we'll have a link to Journey to the Heart of Aikido, teachings of Motomichi Anno Sensei. And Linda Holiday is a, well, you're just amazing. I always so welcome the opportunity to speak with you and hear your thoughts on it. I really thank you for writing this book for all of us in the Aikido community and outside of the community too, because there are teachings that, as you said so well, that it's all about finding that place where there's no opponent, and also finding your self-control, that reflex, that breath, that centeredness. I think by reading this book, and even if you're visiting, whether it's Linda's dojo or somebody else's dojo, you could get that sense of wellness and really a little bit of discipline too, on self-discipline, which goes hand in hand with self-control and helps quite a bit with that turbulent world. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we sign off here, Linda? Any other last thoughts for the listeners, or anything that we left out here that you'd like to share? Or,
you know, really what I'd like to do is to thank you, Rhea, for your work in the world, you know, through Aikido, through your other work about leading chaos and, you know, bringing more sanity and stability and love, you know, to the world that we live in. I want to thank you for your work and for, you know, there's so many people doing beautiful work in the world and not giving in to the sense of, you know, oh, things are going badly, or, you know, not being defeated by discouragement, but really leading people in a good direction. And you're one of those people. I want to thank you for that.
Oh, that's too kind. Thank you so much, Linda. And be well, and we'll hopefully get to see you on the mat in the future somewhere, somehow around this world, or maybe out in Santa Cruz.
Absolutely.
I certainly hope you can take Linda up on that invitation to stop in at Aikido of Santa Cruz in California. And if that is not an option, there are Aikido dojos around the globe. Use your favorite search engine to search for Aikido, and that is spelled Aikido. Again, it is spelled Aikido. My tip would be to make sure that as you enter a door into any dojo for the first time, you want to see and feel joy. Teachers of Aikido, like Linda and myself, are humans, and as such, we're not supreme beings. So make sure that you choose your teacher wisely. Short of that, and most importantly, seek a practice. As Linda says, one that you can go back to daily that continues to move you and helps you cultivate really constructive habits. That was well said. And if you're interested in honing a very basic yet critical skill for centering when chaos comes knocking on your front door, and it does and always will, look to episode 2 of this podcast titled, The Number 1 Leading Chaos Technique We All Do Daily. There I spoke in length about the value of breathing, specifically the power of our exhale. And while on the leadingchaospodcast.com website, you are so welcome to sign up and receive the weekly newsletter on this podcast's guests and topics. There you will find information about my conflict management model, Response Training Programs, LLC. It is a crisis intervention curriculum model that at its roots integrates the philosophy of no opponent in every intervention. And there is a link to my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. As always, be kind, be safe, and practice, 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 practice in joy. Till next time, Ciao for now.